We're going to jump right in this morning. We started last week our series called Pray First that we're going to go through the month of January and through our prayer week this week, just learning about prayer. And we talked about this phrase last week, that I want it to be a rally cry for us, this phrase, pray first, that before you send that message to tell somebody what you think you should, before you tell your kid that you wish you really didn't have them and they're just annoying you and all the other things you sometimes want to tell your kids, you might want to. Before you tell your boss what you think about his job and his business, you want to? Some of y'all, what? Some of y'all said something else telling your boss, and I don't know if we want to hear that. That we pray first, because I don't think a lot of us really understand prayer. And to help you remember and help you give you some guidance this week, besides your prayer sheet that you should have gotten on the way in, if you didn't, on the way out, you can grab one of these. This is just for the week. It's got the date and kind of the topics and the areas and some verses that we'll be praying through. But like Lauren said, on the way out, you can pick up the prayer guide, which is your 22, we debate, prayer guide, prayer journal. But it's a book where you can actually write in the back, hey, this is what I'm praying. And then there's a place to write, well, hey, this is when God answered my prayer. It's not just the asking, but it's the answer. And that's my prayer today for this week, that you begin to not only pray, but then you see prayers answered. You pray and hear God respond. That as we go through this week and through 2022, that you see your prayers have power. And we did something, we've got these for you. Some of you may remember we did black ones last time. This year we did orange ones. So these will also be available out for you on your way out. And it says pray first, and it's got our one step and then our social media name, I don't guess what you call it, handle, is the BC Sylvania, but it's got pray first on it. So everybody can get one of these on the way out, whether you wear them just this week or you wear them all year long, like some of you have before, get one of these. It's just to help us remember, pray first, that when we pray, we see things change. You see, powerful prayers, and we need to understand what makes prayer powerful. Because there are people that I know that are great orators. They have great voices. One that comes to mind, you recognize his voice, and all you have to hear is this phrase, Luke, I am your... Who is that? James Earl Jones. Everybody hears that voice, and if he comes on a commercial, everybody, you know that voice. See, you can have the most eloquent voice. You can know all the big words and all the ologies and all the stuff that's in the Bible, but not really understand it. And that's not going to give your prayer power. It might make you sound good. The Bible tells us of the Pharisees, the religious people in the New Testament. They would stand on the corner and pray these big speeches. But Jesus says to them, hey, you're pretty much like an open grave. You know, you're saying good stuff, but there's nothing good inside you. See, God tells the prophet in the Old Testament, a prophet by the name of Zechariah, and he says, hey, there's something going to happen to your city, but it's not because of human power. It's not because of how smart you are. But look what he says in Zechariah 4:6. If you want to find Zechariah, go to Matthew and go left. Just, it's easier, you're closer to it that way. It says, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to this town called Zerubbabel. We complain about Screven. Can you imagine living in Zerubbabel? Not by might, nor by power, but by, say this phrase with me, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You see, when we say that, especially today, and especially maybe in places where people have been in some crazy churches, and some churches that were out of order, and some churches that I feel, quite honestly, have turned people off to the Spirit of God because they make it something it's not. See, the Bible literally says that in the Greek and the Hebrew, without giving you the words, they basically both translate to mean wind. What does a sailboat have to have to move? What powers it? Wind. Well, see, the reason that's important is because from the Greek to Greek and Hebrew translations to English, there really wasn't a good word for what that means. The Greek word is the word pneuma, where we get pneumatic tools, and that word, they didn't really have a good translation. So back in like the New King James or King James versions, they translated it. The word they came up with was ghost, because they were trying to come up with something that was that could be everywhere. And that's why you hear some people call it the Holy Ghost. And then some of you are like, I don't know about this ghost thing. Like, I don't even like, you know, Casper, the friendly ghost, much less I don't need no ghost. And see, we get off a tangent. We get off really truth about what the Bible says gives us power. See, the wind pushes you along. And Jesus even tells the disciples, he says, hey, listen, my mission, my point of being here is I'm here to seek and save who? The lost. People who are going to be lost forever. And then there's going to come a time at the end where I need to go to be with my Father in heaven, because if you want to do what I'm asking you to do, and the Bible says we're supposed to be disciples, then for you to do that, you're going to need some power, because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. The Bible says in Luke 24:49, it says, and this is Jesus saying, and now we'll send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But he tells them, this is right before he leaves, go to Jerusalem and stay there. Don't try to do stuff on your own, because you're not going to be able to. You're going to need what I'm sending you. And then he ends it by saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, and he will fill you with power from heaven. See, Jesus knew on our own we're not going to be able to do it. And this is what we're going to learn today, that powerful prayers become powerful when we're connected to the God of power. Me praying and just saying things from within me and saying it with gusto and really pumping you up is not necessarily a powerful prayer. Now, I can give a good speech. I can be the coach at halftime that rallies the team and rah-rahs everybody. But the truth of the matter is, what gives my words power is not my voice, but the power from God. The power of the Holy Spirit within me. The Bible says that when you're saved, the fullness and the presence and the power and his Spirit dwells within you. And that's where power comes from. Now, that freaks a lot of us out. Like, wait a minute. I don't know about having no ghost in me. The Bible says when you receive Jesus, that he plants himself fully, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He plants it in your heart. And that's where we connect to God. The Bible even says, again, in Acts chapter 1, just before he ascends to heaven, it's Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, once again, he was eating with them. And he commanded them. He didn't just suggest it. The Bible says he commanded, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift, I promise, as I have told you before. In verse 5, John baptized in water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not come and remained yet because Jesus was here. And he's telling me, you're going to need this. This is different than what John did. You're going to need this because you cleaned the outside in baptism. What I'm going to do is going to be on the inside of you, and we'll go everywhere with you. He continues in verse 8 and says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses, telling people everywhere about me. And it can't happen without power. You see, when you pray first, again, before you send the email, before you put that super thing of wisdom that you want to share with everybody, to tell them what you think because you can make the world a better place, you should pray about it. Before you do the Insta video and go live, you're not even going to type it out. You're just going to go live and tell everybody the truth. You might want to pray first. Before you tell the person what you think of them, pray first. You see, I said this last week. Prayer for us should not be a 911 call. We call 911 when you need help. Like, I need help now. Hey, the fire department, my house is on fire. Or even if you, here's the thing. Even if you think your house is on fire, you should call, right? I got a call. The world's burning around me. See, that's what prayer has become to us. It's just a 911 call when we've tried everything on our own. I've heard many stories and seen many examples over the years of working with the fire department guys to get to a place and it's completely burned down, and you ask them, what happened? Well, when it first caught on fire, we decided to try to do it ourselves. And they get the little garden hose and spray. It doesn't work. And so it becomes this, my prayer now, my lifeline is just that, a lifeline. See, this line's always open. This line is something that needs, that is not just a periodical thing. This was your verse last week, one of your verses in 1 Thessalonians that says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. That, again, this is a review from last week. Our priority of prayer is prayer first. To pray first. Before you need it. You're full of what God has for you before you need it. He's given you wisdom ahead of time before you need it. Real quick, and the first one's going to be a repeat because I really want to get to the last one. I'm going to give you three things on powerful prayer. How, when you start this week, when you show up with me at 6 o'clock in the morning, that's what I expected. Hey, I don't like getting up either. This is my early morning for God because I don't like it. But I'm going to be here, and win or lose Monday night, I'll be here Tuesday morning. And I might be happy or sad, but I'll be here. But I want to give you these things about prayer because I really feel like you need to understand that when we come, that prayer is not this thing that just you throw out there and kind of see if it sticks. A lot of us pray like wet spaghetti. You pray a little bit, you get the noodle wet, and then you just sling it. And if it sticks, great. If it doesn't, must not be God's will. That's a terrible attitude to have for prayer. Some of you are already entering this week. Hey, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come on every night, and I'm going to pray because I'm praying for this. And your attitude is, I'm going to come do this, and we'll see what God does. We'll see. Maybe. Terrible attitude to have. Force yourself to change the mindset. But the first one is this. We talked about it last week. The first thing about powerful prayers have is, did I give you that in order? It's the priority of prayer. Prayer should be our priority. The first P is priority. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer. Acts 2, 42. All the believers devoted, say this with me, them, not just singularly, but as a group. The Bible says that they made it a priority to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship. In other words, to learning the word, to hanging out together, to grow groups, to small groups, to sharing meals together, and to prayer. It was a priority for them. It wasn't just whenever we'll show up. It was, they were living that out, praying continually. That prayer, again, is our first response, not our last resort. As a matter of fact, in the prayer guides, the booklets that we give you in the back of them, I think there's seven or there's eight different plans of prayer that are in the Bible. We talked about one last week, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, when they go through the prayer. That was a plan that God gave the disciples. It wasn't necessarily meant to be, hey, pray these exact words. Well, there's several of those in the Bible, and we put those in the back of the book for you. But that those prayers have power, not because of you, but one, because they're priority, and the second thing is because you have a plan. I really believe this. I think, and I'll use the charismatic term, spirit-filled prayers, powerful prayers, in some people's mind, have to be always just random. Like I just have to randomly make it up. And sometimes God does lay stuff on people's hearts and they'll pray and they'll know exactly, they'll pray maybe exactly what you need. Or maybe the message one day is exactly what you needed to hear. That's not an accident, that's God. But I still believe that prayers, powerful prayers, have a plan. And that's your second thing, the plan of prayer. Again, Jesus said in Luke 2, this is how you should pray. And then he gave them the map. Do these things every time. Not pray these words every time. If you missed last week, you can go catch it on YouTube or Facebook or on the podcast and watch all those. Now, the third one. So it's a priority of prayer. It's a plan of prayer. And then the way, this is going to be double worded, but just bear with me. The way you have powerful prayers is to learn about the power of prayer. You see, I hope today, and if I seem a little discombobulated, it's because just everything within me wants to do the halftime speech. So that when we enter this week, that we hit the field to everything we are. Or maybe it's the pregame. You imagine the coaches for the college national championship tomorrow. Both coaches want their guys firing at maximum capacity. That's my prayer for you this week. Not that just so we can come back and go, woohoo, look what we did. It's so that you can stand back and see the rest of 22 doing the same thing. Amen. And seeing things happen in your life. Seeing people you've been praying for years suddenly show up through those doors. Amen. Seeing your kids who told you they would never talk to you again come back through the doors. Seeing people that were given a death sentence and still here, not just in 2022, but in 2052 and 62. People who have said that my marriage is never going to happen, my marriage is falling apart, to be able to look through the years and say, I remember 22, it was rough, but now 25 years later, we're still married and God's good. The power of prayer. You see, there's this story in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John go to a crippled man. Most of you have probably grown up hearing the story. This is when they go to the crippled guy and he's begging for money. And they say to him, silver and gold have I none. And he says, but what I do have, by the power of the name of Jesus, by the power that God's given me, you get up and walk. And the story goes that this man who everybody in the town knew that was a cripple laying there, got up, grabbed his mat and took off. Well, see, the problem is, in the town he was in, people didn't like that. But when Peter and John get back to their town, they begin to share this story with the people of their town. And look at this verse in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 24. These are the people in the town he's talking about. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God, together in prayer, and said this, O sovereign Lord God, creator of the heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. And then the second part of the verse says, I told you I was excited. I didn't give them the right verses back there. Listen, it says, when they heard this, they raise their voices together in prayer, because powerful prayers need some components. You have the plan, the priority, and the power. But the power is the God-ordained, God-supplied, God. And so what I did is look at prayer and then say, hey, these powerful prayer, and these three things are in it. And the first one is this. Powerful prayers are united. This is, people ask me all the time, why do y'all do the week of prayer and where we come together? Because we could, if you just give us that list, we can pray at home. Yes, you can. And the same way we do service and you're here and we have some people watching online. And as glad as I am for the technology for them to be online, in my opinion, you just can't replace this in person. Wow, I thought that would go over a whole lot better than that. Right? There's something about being together, about hearing the voices, oh, praise the name. And it's just, if power, even if we can't sing, a whole room full of people that can't sing, there's just something powerful about proclaiming it. See, remember this verse from last week? This is the prayer verse you hear every week on the National Day of Prayer, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, if they're going to pray, then I'm going to hear them, then I'm going to forgive them, and then I'm going to heal their land. Look at this again. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive them, and heal their land. See, it's all them. It's all them together, themselves, my people. It's prayer is united. Even Jesus says this from the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 18, 19 and 20, I'm going to read in verse 18. It says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So you're praying God's will. It's the word of God. And then look at this in verse 19. And then he says, again, truly I tell you that if one person, no, it says that if two people agree on anything they ask about, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Then he says again in the next verse, for where two or three gather in my name, what happens? Jesus says, I'm in. Where are we? What are we doing? Come on, let's go. That's why we pray together. We not in the morning time or whatever time, it's not just about us all praying and reciting the same words together. But there's something about when we show up together and we walk in this room together and it's just, it's a momentum builder. Because the Bible says where two or three gather, in my name, I'm there with them. And once we gather, power prayers are also scriptural. When you pray, we're praying God's word to us. We're not making it up on our own. The Bible says his will be done on earth. His word, now get this, this is why you pray the scripture. Are you ready? Y'all ignore Josh. He's handsome and all, I know, but it's because the Bible has 4,000 promises. 4,000. I'm going to ask everybody to participate, and I fully expect I know the answer. How many of you this week have claimed even one of them? Very few. 4,000. And most of us never said, God, I thank you that I'm healthy. I thank you, God, that I'm blessed. I thank you that my family will serve God. The Bible says he's told us his will. His will is healing. His will is peace. His will is joy. His will is freedom. His will is life more abundantly. Matter of fact, ushers, go ahead and just do the lights for me. I want y'all to focus on you. Somebody will get those back there for me. When's the last time you prayed this scripture? Joshua chapter 4. My kids will serve God. Anybody? Come on, y'all respond. Some of the brothers out there, help me out. Joshua 4. My kids will serve God. Psalm 118. I will live and not die. Anybody need that one? I will live and not die. 1 Peter 2:24. By his wounds I am healed. Anybody need that one? See, you don't have to memorize the whole Bible. You just have to know the scripture. And powerful prayers are reminding. Some people say reminding God, and I guess it does. But to me, it's reminding the devil. Devil, I don't care what you say. By his stripes, Emma is healed. Emma Catherine Williams is whole and complete and lacking nothing. I don't care what you say, devil. Some of you need Joshua 4, need to call your kids home. You need to go home and go to your house and go, God, I don't know where my kid is. They're running from you, but wherever they are, that my family will serve God all the days of their life. And that's your prayer. It gives you power. Psalm 27, the Lord is my foundation. Who shall I fear? Some of you are afraid to put your feet on the ground in the morning because you don't know what the day holds and it scares the willies out of you. You need to put your feet in the morning, put them on the ground, and tell the devil, the Lord is my foundation. I am not afraid of you. That's a great place to say amen. The Lord is my foundation. I will not be moved by you. I am not afraid of you. Life is mine. Amen? You see, the story of Peter and John after the guy gets up. Peter and John are back in their town again, telling people what happened. Well, when they did, the religious people started coming after them, and they didn't like it. The religious people felt like they were being shown up. And so they started coming after Peter and John. Well, all that did is galvanize the other people around them. And they began to have a little swagger to them. Because they saw it work. They saw the crippled guy get up. And I know this sounds dumb, but I'm up here. What the heck? I think some of us as Christians, and my prayer really for the church as a whole in Sylvania and Scriven County, we need to have a little more swagger. We need to enter there. Anybody remember the show Seinfeld? Anybody remember Kramer? How did Kramer enter a room? If you watch the show, Google it. Just Google Kramer enter door. The whole show, he would just bust in the door. I'm here. Some of us need to do that. Some of you need to get up in the morning and kick the proverbial door down. Not today, devil. Not in my house. I'm not sick. I'm healed and whole because by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24, I'm healed and whole. Don't hurt yourself trying to kick your actual door in, but some of you need to get up with a little swagger. So in this story of Peter and John, they started getting a little gusto behind them. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "And now, Lord," this is the people praying together, "hear their threats." In other words, the world's telling me this ain't going to work. "And give us, your servants," this word. I love this word. Great what? Oh, come on. Great what? Because I dare say, and I'll be right there with you on Monday night, I will be screaming, "Go Dogs, roll over Tide." I'll be right there with you. And you can scream "Roll Tide" right back at me. It's there. But yet we come to God and we're like, "Hey, could you help me? I have a question." And we're just impish and weak and real mushy. My prayer is this way, that we kick in the door. "Devil, I'm here. You better look out. Not my family." For those of you, several of you are pregnant and or just had babies or haven't. Hey, some of you need to kick in the door. "Hey, before my child ever gets here, hey, devil, you better watch out, because this girl's going to be a world changer." Is it cocky? Yes. I'm getting to the place in life where I'm just tired of us as Christians going, "Well, maybe. Can God heal me?" Yes. But the doctor said it's terminal. I don't care. And we need to have a little more behind us. But look what happens. They said, "Okay, hear their threats, your servants. Hey, they did some great, give us, your servants, great boldness." And just talking about your word. And the Bible says that they stretched out their hands and with healing power. And then they use words that just freak us out. Of miracles, signs, and wonders. I am okay with wondering how it happened and not knowing. When my daughter, and Emma, my own daughter, will tell you, who we prayed for 19 years now, will tell you, not if I get healed, she'll tell you, "When I get healed, this is what I'm going to do." So don't, she's not giving you wrong verbiage. She's telling you exactly the truth. "When I get healed, this is what I'm going to do." Some of you need to start believing that there can be some miraculous signs and wonders. God hasn't closed up shop. There are people that teach that after that certain time, God just quit healing. Well, that can't be true, because if God's healed one person since Jesus left, then it's true for all of us. Amen. I've seen somebody miraculously healed. I can't explain it. I don't even fully understand it. But if it happened for them, it can happen for me. If it happens for me, it can happen for you. Miraculous signs and wonders through the name of who? Jesus. You see, powerful prayers are bold. They're not timid and weak. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. If you remember anything today, remember this for this week. It really is one of my favorite. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God." Why can we come boldly? Because of that name we pray through, Jesus. He made a way, so the Bible says we can go to God and go, "I'm here, Daddy." That boldly. Yet a lot of us don't. We just get angry and mad and complain. God, it's not fair. Why is this happening to me? Because we live in a world that is full of stuff that is not fair, and I have a real devil, and he wants to take us out. That's why. But the Bible says that we can go boldly to God. Even if you've never done this before, I encourage you, go boldly. Like, God, I'm not just asking you just to make me better. I'm asking for complete healing. I'm not asking just for the fever to leave, for the sore throat to leave. God, I'm asking that I am healed and whole and complete and lacking not a thing. And devil, while you're at it, God's going to put back what you're trying to take from me, the time you've taken from me. Be bold. For those of you who are tithers and givers, some of us need to understand that those tithing and being a giver, particularly tithing, comes with a promise. God, you said if I tithe and I give, that the fruit will not fall off my vine, that my house will not be sick, that my family will be whole, that I am blessed because I am being obedient to you. God, it's a promise, and I expect to see it because you're good, God, and you're faithful. Some of you need to be bold, right? Why don't you stand with me, and I'll give you the last one. I'm praying it's going to be bold, but I'm also praying this in James chapter 5, verse 16. The effective mumbling prayer, muttering prayer, no. And some of you are saying, well, Clint, I don't have the words that you have. I don't know how to talk to God. And here's what you do. You come here and you do your best. Whisper. I understand the public prayer timidity. But you go home tonight. If you've got a shop outside, or you got a closet that's a walk-in closet, or I don't care if you stick your head inside a pillowcase. Come out. Stick your head and get bold. Nobody can see you. And you start telling God, God, you said I can be healed. You said my family can serve God. You said my kids can be obedient. God, you said that. And just start asking God for those promises. Because the Bible says that effective, fervent, bold prayer of righteous men and women. Well, what makes you righteous? Can you just be good, make good decisions? No. The Bible says you're made righteous by the blood of Jesus. So all you need to be righteous is to say, and if you don't, you can do it right now. You say, Jesus, I don't really understand this, but if you can take the sin off of me so I can spend eternity and I can go and kick the door in, then receive that. That's all it takes. Online in the room, Jesus, I receive you now. And the Bible says that you're made righteous. Well, now what's your excuse? You don't have one. The Bible says if you have Jesus, you are a righteous man or woman. And now that Bible goes on to say that your bold, fervent prayer is not going to change some things. There are testimonies in this room. Lauren shared one about her and baby Drew. And she's not kidding. When she told my wife, the doctor said, it's not going to work. You know what, Melanie? By the way, Melanie will love the fact that she pretended to be her. I don't know what the word is, that she sounds like that. You know what my wife did? I remember her getting off the phone. She said, I'll be right back. And she didn't actually kick in the door, but I saw her leave. Her face changed. And she looked to me like the linebacker who was given permission to blitz. It's on. And she went down our bedroom. I heard the door shut. And she came out later. She said, it's going to be fine. They're going to have a baby. And just a few weeks later, Lauren said, hey, guess what? We know you're pregnant. We told you. Was it Melanie that did that? No. But the Bible says that the righteous woman, because she was the righteous by Jesus, she had some guts behind her. And she kicked the door and said, no, this ain't the way it's going to go down. Some of us need to do that today. Amen? No, really. Amen? Amen. That when we can sing this song, we're going to sing this chorus in just a second. Sing, oh, praise the name of Jesus. Go ahead and put the chorus up for me if you can. Oh, praise the name of Jesus, of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. for endless days. God, I don't care if I don't see it today. I'm going to pray on Monday. If I don't see it Tuesday, I'm going to pray on Wednesday. If I'm going to go Thursday to Friday, and God, for endless days, I'm going to keep singing your praise. Why? Because you are God. Why? Because I'm going to pray first. Why? Because his word says that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Why? Because you're my foundation, and I don't have to be afraid of anything on this earth. And we can get excited about it. Amen? Some of you need to start today. You make that prayer. Jesus, today I receive you because I need you, and here's why. Don't wait till 911 is necessary. You start today. If you haven't filled out your cards, put cards and fill them out and get them up here, because we're going to pray over them, because I'm expecting that the week after next, we're going to have to just stop and go, okay, here's a testimony. Here's what God did. This marriage was falling apart. Hey, this kid was sick. Hey, this family was sick. Hey, these people were about to go broke. It's just going to start coming. How and why? How? I don't know. Why? It's because he's God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. And that's what we're going to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you. In Jesus' name. That this week, God, we're going to pray your word. We're going to pray it with power. We have a plan. It's a priority. And God, the power comes from you. And God, whether it's right now, God, in a few minutes with our prayer team over here, that we come and say, God, I need you to move there, or whether it's what you get at home. God, that through it's not through Bob and Tammy, it's not through Clint, it's not through our prayer team, but it's because they have power that comes from you. And I thank you for it.